Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
All right, thank you, Scott Shannon, and thanks to all of you for being with us. Here's our toll-free number. It is 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, it is State of the Union night. It means Joe Biden. He's been out. He's been hiding. He's been practicing. He's been changing his hours. He's been having a practice to stay up later than usual, because I would assume that your president, Joey, is usually in bed by 9 p.m., way past his bedtime. So they had the practice, and they basically have kept him cordoned off from the rest of the world, preparing for his big speech tonight. It's funny, as you read all the articles about this, Democrats are scared to death. They are scared to death. The one thing they have going in their favor is it's very simple, and I can play hours, as you know. We've played so many of them, hours and hours of tapes of Joe mumbling and bumbling and fumbling and not knowing whether to exit left or right or where he is, befuddled, you know, just, I mean, especially when he has to work like a couple of days in a row or if he's at a conference. I mean, it's so embarrassing. It's so transparent. And, you know, I'm sure maybe a couple of Red Bulls, some extra strength Excedrin with caffeine in it, you know, probably get him up for the hour and a half that maybe it'll take him if they don't shorten it considerably. And there's one thing that, here's my prediction, and people need to understand this, because I know what the mob and the media is already preparing. They're going to, let's assume for a minute that he gets through the speech. I mean, now think of how pathetic that is, that their number one mission tonight is to make sure he doesn't trip and fall, that he can get through the speech without stammering, mumbling, bumbling, and stumbling and being incoherent and having these brain farts of his. And that is their goal. You know, so what do you have happen in a State of the Union address? Let me start by saying it is the easiest thing a president will ever do, the easiest speech they will ever deliver. Now, maybe you can argue there's a little added pressure, which is probably why they've devoted so much time and energy and resources into tonight so he can get through this, because they know that he's one big fall away from probably an even larger percentage of Democrats saying that they know that this guy's not capable of being president. So they've had to work hard to prepare Joey for tonight. But Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, and actually Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. Okay. The doors open wide and there's Joe surrounded by his cabinet members. And then he makes the slow walk down the aisle in Congress, joint session of Congress, with Supreme Court and military leaders there. And he'll make the long trek down, stopping every foot or so to shake hands. And he turns from one side of the aisle to the other side of the aisle to one side of the aisle, shaking hands with everybody at the slowest pace imaginable. And then he gets to the very end and he passes by. Sometimes he'll shake the hands of Supreme Court members, military leaders, and then he has to climb the couple of stairs. That might be the toughest moment of the night, climbing them and getting down them without tripping and falling. And then he's got to take a copy of the speech, hand one copy to the vice president, one copy to the Speaker of the House, and they will be sitting behind him for the entire speech. And then he gets up to the podium. You know, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, members of my cabinet, members of Congress, the American people, blah, blah, blah. All right. He gets there. First, he's going to stand for a while, and there's going to be a sustained applause. So all he has to do is stand, and he does have the ability of having the podium there. He can put his hands on the podium, make sure he's very stable, and so he won't risk falling. He's got big font teleprompter on each side of him and straight ahead, I believe, as well. And then he's got to go through a speech that, if I had to venture a guess, that he's already been through 200 times. Now, the benefit for Joe is he doesn't have to go too quickly, is because if he reads a couple of lines, then his side of the aisle will stand and applaud and give him time to rest and regroup. And then he'll read another few lines and they'll stand and they'll clap and he gets more rest. I mean, it's simple. There's no thinking really needed for this speech. The only thing he has to remember is to stand up straight, read the teleprompter, and get through it. Then he makes the long walk back like they made the long walk in, and night's over, and then you'll hear from the mob and the media, "That's the greatest speech I've ever heard in my entire life," even though I can tell you ahead of time it's going to be full of nothing but lies. And Joe Biden will go out there and tell you that the economy's great when it's not. The American people, poll after poll after poll, see it. He's going to tell you that the reason that we have an issue at the border is because Republicans, they won't help me or anything. I'm looking for legislation. No, you inherited the most secure borders ever. And then he's going to talk about Ukraine, and he's going to talk about different guests, and he'll praise his wife. I mean, it's a simple thing to do. If he can't do this, I don't even know how anybody at this late hour can support him. You know, I've already been researching and having members of my Cracker Jack radio and TV team research, because I can predict what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about the economy. He'll talk about the open borders. He'll blame Republicans. He's going to lie and blame greedy corporations. So much for the buck stops with him. He's going to blame shrinkflation. By the way, the more I think about it, I think what has worked for me in terms of my diet is shrinkflation. I shrink my portions. And that has been the secret sauce and my ability to keep weight off of once I finally made the decision that I needed to do it. And it's a pain in the you know what. But large majorities of voters disapprove how Joe is doing as president. Most Americans are extremely unhappy with the direction of the country. He has a 38% approval rating according to Gallup. 86% of the American people think this guy is too old to be our president. Most people say that Joe Biden's policies are hurting them rather than helping them by a whopping 23-point margin, 48 to 25. Now, these are not sustainable numbers. In contrast, voters now remember Trump's policies as helping rather than hurting their family when he was president, by a whopping 13-point margin, just the opposite of Joe. Voters believe the U.S. is weaker under Joe Biden's, if you want to call it, leadership. There is no leadership. He's abdicated his role on the world stage, and all of the world's unsavory evil characters, they're taking full advantage. But they believe the U.S. is weaker under Biden's leadership. Almost 60% say it's weaker. Only 36% say stronger. The survey finds that Biden's worst ratings on the border security, 71% think the administration has failed improving the situation at the border. Well, that's obvious. Although he'll claim, "Well, I've been trying to pass legislation. These mean Republicans won't help me." It was like watching him. We played it last night. Joe Biden saying, I'm not allowed to answer questions because they get mad at me and everything, and I might not get my ice cream tonight, my ice cream cone. It's terrible. 51% of Biden's own party blame him for not enforcing laws on the books. It's a big number. 10% of voters of Biden in 2020 are now voting for Donald Trump. 63%, that's it, say he has failed to make our country safer. 61% disapprove of his handling of the economy. We already know that because we're living it. 58% he has mostly failed at helping working class Americans. The people Democrats claim to have a monopoly of compassion for. No, they don't. He'll go out there. He'll play his class warfare game. He'll talk about democracy in peril. probably even mentioned January 6th. Who knows? And Donald Trump is evil, and our democracy is hanging in the balance. All that rhetoric will likely be in there. And probably the abortion issue will come up. They want to prevent women from having abortions, which is an outright lie. They'll demagogue that. In vitro fertilization, they'll demagogue that. Then they'll go back to, you know, the typical Democratic playbook, which I describe all the time. You have 72% of voters dissatisfied with the direction of the country. By the way, that is up 19 points from 53% at the start of Biden's term. Only 27% of Americans are satisfied with how things are going in the U.S. today, which is fewer than when what people said the same at the beginning of Trump's reelection year. You know, his job performance has been abysmal. And that's why he has such a low approval rating. That's why Donald Trump has a real chance to win this election in just 242 days. You know, I mean, look, 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. It doesn't matter what Joe says about the economy. I don't think there's going to be a single American that's going to buy the lie that Republicans are responsible for the disaster that he's caused at our border. And I know with Bidenomics, I don't think people are going to buy that this is because of greedy corporations and shrinkflation. He's been out there, you know, hitting the talking point that Bidenomics, it hasn't done a thing for them. Even Democrats are saying, let it go. People are not buying it. And they're just not. Even on climate change, the overwhelming majority of Americans think he's failed. Well, most Americans don't want the electric vehicle he's been trying to shove down our throats that costs so much more. They don't want to get rid of their refrigerators, their gas stoves, their air conditioning, and they don't want to give up the meat that they like. And then if you look at, there's a big reason that demographically so many people are abandoning Joe. I mean, members of the Democratic coalition, you know, demographically speaking, African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, young people are abandoning him in record numbers. Super Tuesday, I mentioned this yesterday. States that had an option of uncommitted or no preference, the numbers were pretty staggering. I mean, in terms of North Carolina, 12.7% of Democratic primary voters picked either no preference or uncommitted. Massachusetts, 9.4%, nearly 10%. In Minnesota, 18.9%. Colorado, 8.1%. Alabama, 6%. Tennessee, 7.9%. Iowa, 4%. Wow. I mean, he's upside down on everything. Now, we're going to fact check him. We'll be on. The State of the Union starts just in my hour, 9 o'clock, so I'll be on after he speaks. By the way, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, will be on with us. Ted Cruz will be on with us. We got a great show tonight. But I read this morning, too, that Donald Trump is planning to fact check Joey in real time. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump's fact check gets a bigger audience than Joe. Last year was one of the lowest rated State of the Union addresses ever. Anyway, Trump has put out that he's pleased to inform you that he will be doing live play-by-play of Crooked Joe Biden's State of the Union address. I will correct in rapid response any and all inaccurate statements, especially pertaining to the border and his weaponization of the DOJ, the FBI, AGs, district attorneys, to go after his political opponent, me. Something that's never been done in the country before. We did this once before with tremendous success, beating all the records. It's important for the country to get the truth. Not going to be hard. I've already prepared for the lies because they've been telling them now for a long time. You know, Joe Biden dodges Donald Trump's debate challenge. He doesn't want it. I would not be surprised if Joe Biden under no circumstances will debate Donald Trump. He'll blame Trump for it. But it's really because he's not capable of it. The guy, the fact that he punted on an easy Super Bowl interview is pretty revealing. All right, these are tough economic times. And look, the administration, they want you taxed to the brink under the thumb of the IRS. By the way, gold sales are at record numbers because people do not like the state of the Biden economy. And you have thousands of hardworking, patriotic Americans. They opt out of the system. They simply do it by diversifying their savings. They use precious metals like gold and silver. Ever since of my later 20s, when I started to save money, I took a percentage of my savings and always put it in gold and silver. I'm glad I did. I'm still doing it today. I'm a customer of Goldco, 7-time Inc. 5000 winner. They have placed over $2.5 billion in gold and silver, and they'll walk you through the process. They'll send you all the information you could ever want for your own due diligence. And right now, they are offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver, but only while supplies last. Anyway, check in with our friends at Goldco. They'll help you through the process. 855-815-GOLD. Tell them I sent you, and you'll qualify for that $10,000 in bonus silver. But that's on a first-come, first-served basis. Don't wait. That's Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. 855-815-GOLD.